Turn to Psalm 25. Ever since the Lord revealed Himself to me, there's been two things that have been constant. One is by His grace, He's kept me looking to Him. And there's much joy there, peace, comfort. And at the same time, the other constant has been, I've constantly been a sinner, plagued by sin, constantly had trouble in life. And those two constants have been with me ever since. I spend so many nights awake, thanking God. Just so thankful for what He's done to save a sinner like me. And at the same time, begging Him to stop me from sinning and to forgive me of my sins. I hear men talk about getting better. The only thing that I've gotten better at is seeing what a sinner I am. And by that I just mean my sin just seems more and more and more present all the time. But then when I read the Psalms, I see that I'm not the only one that felt that way. Every time you pick up a Psalm and read it, David says the same things over and over and over. Expresses his joy in the Lord and his trouble in his flesh and in his world. That's what we see tonight. Let's read this last part of Psalm 25, beginning in verse 15. He says, "Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I'm desolate." That word means I'm all alone. I'm alone. I'm desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they're many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in Thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on Thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Now the first thing we see here is where believers look. And this is where we should always look. This is where our affection should always be set. Verse 15. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. The eyes represent the entire new man that's created of God. That inward man that's God's creating, that God has put in His people, Christ in you. That new man born of God. Because that's the only man with which, the only part of us that looks to the Lord is that which God's created and preserves and keeps looking to Him. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. That's the only part of us that looks away from us is the new man. Faith looking to Christ, trusting the Lord. And the only one who can save us is the Lord. That's why we look to Him. He's the only one that can save. You know, when you really see what a sinner you are, and see what a sinner this whole race is, that's when it becomes more apparent to you that the Lord is the only one who can save us. He's the only one. David said in another psalm, "I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." The Holy Spirit says through the Apostle Paul, he says to the believer, if you're risen with Christ, set your affection on things above, not on things on this earth. Set your eyes above this earth. Set your affection on things above where Christ sits. Set your affection on Christ, on His throne, where He sits. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Do you believe you're dead? Do you believe God? You trust the Lord's Word that He says you're dead? You know, the Scripture says, he that is dead is freed from sin. And that's how it is before God. By Christ's death, when He died, all God's elect died in Him. And when He died to sin. And when He died to sin, all His people died to sin. He that's dead is freed from sin. Now that's we see it differently because we see our sin. That's what God says. He that's dead is freed from sin. God sees every one of His children that was in Christ when He died. He sees us as being dead. Our old body of sin, our old body of death is dead to God. And he that's dead is dead to the law. That's a great blessing. The Scripture says, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. That's something else. He said, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. The law can't condemn us anymore. Because when Christ died under the law, all His people died under the law. When He died under the penalty of divine justice and satisfied justice, God's law said, I'm satisfied. And He said that towards me and you and every other chosen child of God, dead to the law. Now see, when we look to God, when we look to Christ, that's what we behold. That's when you have some confidence in the Lord. That's when you have some joy in the Lord. You look to Him and behold, I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to the law. I'm dead to the curse and the condemnation. God's not going to charge one of His people with sin again because He laid it all on Christ and Christ paid it all. That's why David said, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. It's only by God's quickening grace. It's only by God's preserving grace. It's only by His keeping grace that the Holy Spirit keeps us turned looking to the Lord. That's going to be a constant in a believer's life. He's going to always, by God's grace, by the Spirit of God, he's going to be looking to the Lord. When He says sin's not going to have the dominion over you, I can't say that sin doesn't in some ways have a great power over me. There are my sins in my members. I see that. But one thing I do know, God's never going to let one of His children fall away in the sin of unbelief. He's never going to let you cease looking to Him and beholding all your hope and confidence in Him. He's never going to let that happen. He's going to keep His people, and you'll be looking to Him. We look to Him with a dire need. All our need. We need Him. We look to Him believingly, trusting Him. You can see that throughout this passage we just read. David says there, he says, I put my trust in thee. He says, I wait on thee. He's looking to the Lord. That's what it is to look to Him, to trust Him and to wait on Him. To trust Him and to wait on Him. To look believingly is to look with a broken and a contrite spirit. A broken, contrite spirit. Humbly. You don't come into a king and march up to a king and speak. Even if you have welcome access to a king, you don't come in all arrogant and haughty to a king. You come into a king and bow. And that's how we come before God. We come bowing in our heart, broken and contrite with reverence. Our faith is not perfect. I don't even have to say anything about that. But where He's given you faith, where it's the gift of God, and it's preserved by God, and you're kept by God, it doesn't matter if that faith is just like a grain of mustard seed. Faith looks to the Lord. Faith is ever looking to the Lord. Faith is the evidence and the substance of things hoped for. Therefore, faith's looking to the Lord. That's where faith's looking. Now, when we don't look to the Lord, that's unbelief. That's our flesh. But that new man, kept by God, preserved by God, made to look, the only part of you that looks to the Lord and trusts the Lord is that part that God's created, where He's given the faith and sustains that faith, and that faith ever looks to the Lord. Sin distracts it. Sin interferes with it. Sin causes us sometimes to see very dimly. But God keeps His people looking to Him and Him alone. Mine eyes are ever to the Lord. Ask God. This is what I pray. When I stay awake at night, I'm constantly asking God, Lord, set my heart and my affection more on You. Set the affection in the heart of Your people on You. Make them look to You. Make them look away from themselves and away from this world and away from the troubles and look to You, Lord. We look to Him, we're going to find. What did He say? In the world, you're going to have tribulation. That's all you're going to find. Look into your flesh, look into your works, look into your anything about you. And look into this world, you're going to have tribulation. But He said, but in me, you'll find peace. Peace. Because He's overcome the world. And He's overcome the world on behalf of His people. So He said, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. But now look at this. Just as that inward part, that the eyes are ever on the Lord, our sinful nature, our flesh, is always in the net of sin. Look here. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He shall pluck my feet out of the net. The eyes are the upper part of our body. They're closer to the head. They're in the head. And that's a good picture of the new man that's in Christ, with Christ in you. That upper part that's looking to the Lord. But where are your feet? It's the lower part, and your feet are always in the dust. And our old man of flesh is always in the dust of sin and temptation, and constantly we're needing to be plucked out of that net. Isn't this us? Isn't in the picture of us? We're two men. We're two people. With our eyes, we're ever looking to the Lord. Why? Because we constantly need Him to pluck us out of the net. The net. Oh, that net. Now, this is the conflicting condition of a sinner. Always in his condition. That net is the trap. That's used in Scripture to show the trap that's set by our sin and by the sin of our enemies. Of a wicked man, it says in Job 18:8, he is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walketh upon a snare. You ever come into a net that you didn't have something to do with it, walking into it? It says, the heathen, in the net which they hid is their own foot taken. Well, that's wicked people, though. That's the heathen. That's you and me by nature. And the only way we have our feet pulled out of that net is by the Lord, by His grace. That's why we're looking to Him to pull us out of the net. Listen to this scripture. I tell you what, turn over there, Psalm 10. I think it's Psalm 10. I hope I wrote it down right. Nope, I didn't. I wrote it down, but I didn't write it down right. Let me read it to you. See if I can find it. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we're escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He's the one who delivered us out of the snare, out of the net, out of the trap. And He constantly has to deliver us out of it. We're like a bird. A bird don't see the net. A bird doesn't see the trap. And he'll get in a trap very easily. And that's us by nature. We've had this happen for 2 years now. We've got these starlings nesting in the side of our house. They come and peck the hole. The male pecks the hole. And I read up on it because I was trying to figure out what this bird is. They peck a hole and they put some colorful leaves and moss and things to attract a mate. And they sing while they're doing it. And they really do sing. And then the mate comes and they have their nest in, and she tears the nest all apart and rebuilds it. And that seems kind of fitting, doesn't it? She has her eggs, and then when we went out there, they've been making all this noise, you know. We went out there this week, and we've done it the past couple of years. Rob helped us. We put these little metal plates over the hole, you know. And we went out there, and I put this little metal plate over the hole and come back in the house, and you know, we wasn't there very long, and Melinda said, the baby's already hatched. I hear them in the house. And she said, go out there and take it apart. So I went out there, and I undid it, took it apart, and so she could finish raising the babies, you know. But see, they were trapped. Hey, if I'd have left that there, they'd have been trapped. Just a silly bird makes a nest in the side of a house where they can be trapped. And that's us by nature. We build our nest and we think we've got us a nice, safe nest. And we find out we're in a trap. We're in a net. And it takes God and Him alone to deliver us out of it. Listen to these things that were troubling David. Verse 16, he said, I'm desolate. I'm alone and I'm afflicted. Most people think this was when his son betrayed him and he led that big revolt against David, against King David. So David was all alone. And you know that made him just be so afflicted. His own flesh and blood. Scripture says a man's foes will be they of his own household. You make him feel alone and afflicted. Verse 17, he said, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. That's true trouble, heart sin, heart trouble. That's the worst. When you know sin's not just in what you do. If it was just in what you do, you can stop a lot of that. But you fleeting thoughts coming from that corrupt, sinful flesh, and you see my heart is troubled. My heart's breaking. My heart's burdened. The troubles of my heart are enlarged, he said. Look at verse 17 there. Bring thou me out of my distresses. Not just distress. Distress is. Meaning. Verse 18. Look upon mine affliction and my pain. Verse 18. Forgive all my sins. I hear people sometimes speak as if their sins were something in the past. You know, I sinned so much when I was in my youth. Well, I did too. David did too. Earlier in his psalm, he said, Lord, forgive the sins of my youth. Here he is now praying in the present tense, forgive all my sins. Paul didn't say, oh, wretched man that I was. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Forgive my sins. All my sins. Verse 19, consider mine enemies. For they are many. They hate me with cruel hatred. That word means with the hatred of violence. Violence. That's our net, brethren. That's the net. That's what we got to be plucked out of right there. Troubles of the heart, loneliness, affliction and pain, all our sins, all our enemies, all our troubles. Now that right there is a description of all I am in my flesh. That's it. All this that he needed to be saved from, that's what I am in my flesh. That's all I am in my flesh. And that's all you are. You who believe, that's all you are in your flesh. And everybody here that doesn't believe, that's all you are in your flesh. This is all mankind is in our flesh. Sin, trouble, distress, pain, affliction, that's all mankind is. It all comes from a fallen, corrupt, depraved heart. That's what we are by nature. You wonder why the Lord left His believing children in this? Why did He leave us in this flesh? Why did He leave us in this world so full of sin? Why didn't He just save us and just take us to glory right then? Do you find that these things, if we look at it here, do you find that these leave you utterly helpless to deliver yourself? That's what I find myself. I find myself constantly praying this. Hours on end. Lord, I can't deliver my... If I could stop this, if I could make myself be free from all my sins, I'd do it now. And I can't. But you know what it also makes me do? Constantly. You find this true? Because I can't deliver myself from my sin, do you find that you're constantly calling on Him and saying, Lord, please save me. Please deliver me. Please forgive me. Please keep me. Please preserve me. All these things David was praying, that's what we're constantly praying. Because we can't do it. That's why He left us. That's why He left you in that body of death. That's why He left us in this sinful world. To teach us to have our eyes ever toward the Lord. I feel so sorry for people that, you know, as awful as it is to see you sin and to have troubles and affliction and pain and all these things, to have sleepless nights where you... And it's not because I'm worried that God's going to cast me off. I'm not worried that He's going to forsake me. He if He chose me and put me in Christ and Christ died for me, He's going to keep me. He's going to keep His people. I'm not worried about that. I don't want to sin because it's against Him. I don't want to sin because it's... I want to honor Him. But you see, by keeping us in this flesh, I feel sorry for people that don't feel that and see that and know that, because you don't have a need to be saved. You don't have a need for the Lord if you don't see what an awful sinner you are. Folks that are getting better and better, are they able to walk without the Lord? Are they able to... If I was getting better and better, I'd be getting more and more confident that I don't need the Lord. I'm getting worse and worse and worse. And I'm needing Him more and more and more. That's just how it is. What do we need the Lord to do? Here's our prayer and our need and our expectation. Look at verse 15. He shall pluck my feet out of the net. I'm not going to do it. He's going to do it. He shall. He shall pluck my feet out of the net. Look at verse 17. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. He's going to have to do that. I can't do it. Verse 18. Look upon my affliction and my pain. I need Him to do that. Look at verse 18. Forgive. I certainly can't forgive my sins. I need Him to forgive my sins. Verse 19, I need Him to consider my enemies. Verse 20, I need Him to keep my soul. I need Him to deliver me. I need Him to keep me from being confounded and ashamed. Verse 21, let integrity and uprightness preserve me. Now there is a, we're going to see in the next Psalm. There, David, as far as men go, he walked in integrity and uprightness, and what he'll say, that was the truth of the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Looking to the Lord. What we see right here is David's integrity and his uprightness. He didn't try to hide his sin and say he wasn't a sinner. He didn't try to say he was without a need for mercy and God's grace and God's preserving and keeping. In the integrity and uprightness of God created in his new heart, he confessed his sin and confessed his need and looked to the Lord and trusted the Lord. But I heard all these messages and all these sermons on man's integrity and man's uprightness. Let me show you something. Look here with me. Look here in verse 20. He says, "Oh, keep my soul and deliver me and let me not be ashamed." Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to the Lord. He's asking the Lord to keep his soul and deliver him and to let him not be ashamed. Why? "For I put my trust in thee." See who he's looking to? Now look at the next verse. "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me." Who's he looking to preserve him? Who's the integrity and the uprightness he wants to preserve him? "For I wait on thee." He's still looking to the Lord. He's saying, "Lord, in your integrity and your uprightness, preserve me, because I'm waiting on you." That word integrity and uprightness, remember we saw before, the Lord is good and upright to them that trust in him. That integrity includes all that first catalog of attributes he told Moses, where he said, "My loving kindness and my mercy and my long suffering, I reserve this for thousands." And his uprightness, "But I will not clear the guilty." It's his righteousness, his justness, his righteousness. He's saying, "Lord, in your mercy and your grace and in your righteousness, preserve me." That's what I need to preserve me. That's preservation. The mercy and righteousness of God, when they've met together in truth, that's what preserves us. And that's what we're waiting on. That's who we're waiting on. Integrity and uprightness personified is who we're waiting on. The Lord Jesus. Look here, verse 22. "Redeem Israel out of all his troubles, O God." That's what we need. We need him to redeem us. We need him to do it all. Everything. Because we can't do any of it. That's why the Lord says this. "Look unto me. Look unto me. And help me save you. Look unto me and give me a hand saving you. Look unto me and do your part." He says, "Look unto me and be ye saved." How much more passive could you? That's your part. He says, "You look unto me and be ye saved." In other words, you look to me, I'll do the saving. You'll just be the one being saved. "Look unto me and be ye saved, for I am God and there is none else." That's what David's saying right here. Now, let me show you this one last thing. How do I know he's gonna save me if I look to him? There's salvation in a look. Look to him. Trust him. Confess your sin to him. Confess your need to him. And ask him to save you. He said, "Look unto me and be ye saved." But now let me tell you something. I need something else besides just my looking to him. I'll only do that by his grace. That's the only way you're going to look to him, is by his grace. But I need something besides me looking to him. I need him to look to me. Look here, verse 16. "Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me." Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me. Remember who we saw it was the Lord looks to? "I look to this man," the Lord said, "the man who is of a poor and contrite spirit and trembles at my word." How can I be sure the Lord's, when I'm poor and contrite and trembling at his word by his mercy and his grace, and I see what a need I have of him to do it all for me, how do I know he's going to save me? How do I know he's going to hear me? How do I know he's going to look unto me and have mercy on me? Well, Christ hung up on a tree one time. When he hung on that tree, the net that all his people deserved is the net he was in on that tree. The troubles of our heart became the troubles of his heart. The loneliness, that word there where he says, My distress and my affliction, that word is a word that's used when it's only begotten son. That's the word used, only. Alone. He became alone. He was alone there. and all our distresses were His distresses. And then all the sins that we need to be forgiven of, they became His sins. All the sins of all God's elect were made His. And He owned them as His. He owned them as His. All our enemies became His enemies. All our troubles became His troubles. And when God justly turned His back on Him, when His people had forsaken Him, when all the enemies were railing on Him and all hell was railing on Him, when He was alone, totally alone. You know what upheld Him? Integrity and uprightness. He constantly, unwaveringly had, He could say this, "Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord." David could be exaggerating a little bit. Not the Lord. The Lord said, "Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord." Even when He hung on that tree. Our faith is not perfect, but His faith was. As the servant of God serving God, "Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord." Read it with me now. Let's just read it. And you think of Christ on that cross. Think of Christ saying this on that cross. When He was silent, no man could hear Him speaking a word. When He was like a lamb led to the slaughter, wasn't opening His mouth. Yet He was in that hours of darkness. This is Him speaking to the Father. "Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I'm desolate, I'm alone, and I'm afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sin." Would Christ say that? He had none of His own, but our sins became His sins so real that He owned them as His own. He really did. "Consider mine enemies, for they're many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in Thee. Let integrity and uprightness, mercy and truth." The mercy and truth I'm fulfilling right here, right now for my people. For God and my people. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on Thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. And I'll tell you what. As a prince with God, he prevailed. He had power with God and with men. Christ the Lord, our Israel, put away all the sins of his people, purged our sins, and he justified his people, and he made us righteous. He made mercy and truth, integrity and uprightness to meet in perfect harmony. And he so fully satisfied God, and God raised him from the grave and set him down at his own right hand, so that now, when his suffering people taste just a little bit of what he suffered, not even anything nearly to compare with what he suffered, but when we pray these things, in the little way in which we are faced with them, the reason God hears us, and the reason He will always hear us, and the reason He will preserve us and keep us and deliver us and forgive us all our sin, is because Christ put them all away. And He's there making intercession for His people, and He'll never let us go, ever. I tell you what, if I didn't know what good God was bringing out of all my sin, it would just bring me so down, I'd just be. But I know, anything that brings me to cast my care on Him and beg Him to save me is serving His purpose. I pray He'll make us look to Him, set our affection ever on the Lord, and constantly ask Him, "Save us." And I'll tell you what, for Christ's sake, He will. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the trouble. Thank You for the affliction. Thank You for the pain and the loneliness. We thank You for the
making us to see what an awful, wretched thing our sin is. Thank you, Lord, for using all these things to make us see what helpless, impotent sinners we are. And thank you, Lord, for turning us and giving us faith, giving us a heart to look to you and to ask you for mercy. That's what we need. That's what we need. Forgive us, Lord, for all our sins. Forgive us for being puffed up. Keep us poor and broken and contrite. Keep us trembling at your word. Lord, just keep us. Glorify your name. Glorify your mercy and your righteousness and all your glorious attributes. Glorify all in the person of our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Him. Thank you for everything He's done for us. We ask you, hear us now, Lord, for His sake. It's in His name we pray. Amen.